That's going to be the honest choice. Yeah? Repeat after me. Do you solemnly swear?
I do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend?
I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States?
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah?
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend?
I will support, obey, and defend.
Constitution of the United States?
Constitution of the United States.
And Constitution of the State of Utah?
Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
That I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Okay, we're ready to go. Welcome Andrew and Kevin. Buckle up, I guess. Okay. Our opening remarks will be given by Councilmember Arrington. And you do the pledge, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Pledge allegiance will be given by Councilmember Hanson.
Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity to be gathered here in the City Council meeting. We're so grateful for the city within which we live and the freedoms that we enjoy. We are grateful for the blessings that we enjoy in our nation, and we ask that blessing to be upon our nation and its leaders at this time. We pray that Thy Spirit will be with us as we discuss the items on the agenda this evening and make decisions that are in the best interest of our community. We say these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Please stand.
Face the flag, following the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Kip. Kevin, there's a roll there. If you haven't signed it, I guess we can send it around and get your signature on there. By way of roll call, all council members are present. Rob is here, our financial director, and Michelle, city manager. Item six is to make appointments. We want to vote on these each individually. Okay. Appoint Michelle Jolly as Richfield City Administrator. Appoint Rob Jensen as the Finance Director for the City of Richfield. Appoint Michelle Jolly as the City Recorder for Richfield. Marley Christiansen as the City Treasurer for the City of Richfield. Chief of Police would be Trent Lloyd, the City of Richfield. Fire Chief will be Dustin Anderson, and his officers as elected through the department. I recommend Mayor Pro Temp Kip Hanson, and I guess we should approve those first before we go to the other appointments, right? I would ask for a motion and an approval.
So moved.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Council Member Gardner.
Gardner, aye.
Arrington, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Holmes, aye.
Motion carries. I would ask Kip Hanson to serve as the council representative, city representative for the library board, and as the 4th of July. You've been doing that for a long time, haven't you? You do a good job. Thank you. Appreciate you guys and your willingness to serve and make this community what it is, so. Okay, item seven is to, I would consider a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on December 9th, 2025.
Mayor, I have read those minutes. They appear to accurately reflect the meeting held on December 9th, 2025. I would move to approve those minutes.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Councilmember Gardner.
Gardner, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thomas, aye.
Okay, motion carries. Item eight is to consider a motion to approve warrants and cash disbursements for December 2025.
Nobody has any concerns. I would move that we approve the warrants and cash disbursements for November 2025.
Second.
Yeah, there's been a motion and a second. Councilmember Gardner.
Gardner, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thomas, aye.
Motion carries. Yes.
Just by way of information, last meeting we did not get the warrants signed for November and December, so I'm going to pass these around, and Andrew and Kevin, you won't sign them because you weren't here then, but the rest of you need to sign them.
Okay.
And then I'll send the one down for tonight, but I'm going to all sign.
Okay. Okay, item nine is conflict of interest declaration. Hearing none, we'll move on to our business portion. Item A in our business portion is a planning commission report. Dave, are you doing that or? Okay, well, we will skip past that and we'll go to item B, which is the U City Council to discuss the events they are planning for the upcoming year. I apologize for not recognizing you guys, Mayor. This is our U City Council. They do a great job.
All right, so as many of you know, this year is America's 250th anniversary.
Would you be willing to introduce your crew?
Oh, yes, sorry. Okay, I'm the mayor of the Richfield U City Council. My name's Kiana Byers. This is Emma Larson, Gavin Larson, Maggie Telford, Aaliyah Jorgensen, who is a member of the leadership team, Boston Winters, who is a member of the leadership team, and Isaac Steele, who is also part of the leadership team. Okay, so to commemorate the 250th anniversary of America, it's being pushed nationwide to do service, to just dedicate the whole year to service. And so as a youth city council, because that's kind of a lot of what we do anyway, we have planned a whole bunch of service projects dedicated to the 250th anniversary. So we just have quite a few of those today to present to you and hopefully get your approval. The first one is a little different. It's kind of, I'm taking the head of it because for the high school, I'm the social science Sterling Scholar. And with that, it has to go a lot with like veterans and political science. And I have to plan a big service project. So what I've chosen to do is put a team together, and it's going to be quite a few days worth of work, and we're going to get maps and go down to the cemetery and really carefully sweep through and record all the veterans and where they're buried on maps to update the city's records and also to use for Wreaths Across America and other events like that. So we have a few more service projects that a few members of the leadership team are going to present, so I'm going to pass the time over to Boston.
Hi. So the first thing that we have planned is Martin Luther King Day, and it is dedicated as a service day. So what we have decided to do is gather the youth council and their families and just dedicate that day to picking up trash and cleaning up our community. And then one of the other ones is as America approaches its 250th birthday, the National Flag Foundation is calling on Americans to rise in a resounding display of unity and patriotism. Light to Unite is a rallying cry for all Americans to fly the stars and stripes with pride on July 4th, 2026. And as night falls across the nation, citizens are encouraged to light up buildings and landmarks in red, white, and blue. From the heart of bustling cities to the quiet streets of small towns, the vision is bold. A nation aglow, not just in color, but in shared mission and remembrance. These lights will symbolize our past sacrifices, our present resilience, and our unwavering hope for the future. In this historic moment, Light to Unite invites us all to stand together, one flag, one nation under God. The Litchfield Youth City Council plans on lighting the Freedom Stage on April 18th, the anniversary of Paul Revere's ride, as well as July 4th. We would also like to light up the water tower on July 4th if we can manage it. Thank you.
And then to bring more patriotism to the 4th of July, we're going to be featuring America's symbols or heroes on the 4th of July float, with the council dressed up as Lady Liberty, the Bald Eagle, Abraham Lincoln, and a few others.
That's the Youth City Council, correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Brian.
We will also be updating the City Council flow so that it looks fresh and exciting for your guys' ride this year. And then in honor of the veterans that have fought for our freedoms, we will be promoting wreaths across America during Memorial Day in the cemetery and a booth in the park on July 4th. Our goal is to at least double the amount of wreaths that were sponsored this last year to be placed on the veterans' grave during the Christmas season.
As of 2025, statistics show that 26% of Americans know all or most of their neighbors, while 12% know none at all. These figures show a shift towards more fragmented communities. Knowing your neighbors builds a strong support system, boosts mental and physical health by reducing loneliness, increases community safety through mutual thoughtfulness, provides practical help, and enhances overall quality of life with shared activities and resources, making your neighborhood feel more like home. In an effort to bring Americans back together in our communities, America 2050 has declared Sunday, July 5th, America's potluck. They are encouraging communities to spread the word to plan and host a potluck with their neighbors. Through dialogue and shared meal, we can promote our common bonds and honor the freedoms we enjoy as Americans. This is an opportunity for neighbors to join with one another to share a fun communal meal, creating a sense of connection and belonging and fostering interactions among people from all walks of life. The Richard U City Council would like this to be added to the July 4th schedule events. We will also be discussing other ways to get the word out to the community. All right, those are just all the service projects we have upcoming, and we wanted to present those and get your approval.
Good question.
Yes.
How would you feel about identifying a member of the group to serve on the Independence Day
Committee?
Oh, value there?
I think so, yeah.
Make sure we don't miss any of these things that.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay. All right, that's all we have.
Thank you.
Yep.
Now turn around. Thank you. Thank you, Leader Elizabeth. She does an awesome job. Thank you for keeping this going. Okay, we'll go back to item B, or item A, Planning Commission report.
Sorry, I didn't realize it was coming up. So we had a public hearing on a requested zoning change. We didn't receive any comments on the public hearing, and the owner of the parcel has rescinded that request, so it's kind of a moot issue at this point. They also consider approving a conditional use of Kelly Crane to build an accessory building, not incidental, at 461 West, 2200 South. That is a C1 use. It is allowed in the RR1 and RR5 zones where you can build your garage prior to building your home, and that's Kelly's plan, is to, he's going to build a large garage, and then later down the line, he's going to build a home out there. They approved that conditional use. They also approved Pioneer Lane development, which is an eventual 14-unit multifamily development at approximately 225 West 800 South. This is the development you guys approved the use for during last month's meeting. I actually have something in another business that we'll talk about on that we need to take care of, but we'll do that at the end of the meeting. We approved some minutes, and then we discussed some revisions to the RM11 development standards, and we had a good discussion with Kendall Welsh, our contracted planner with the city, on how to kind of trying to address a few issues that we've run into in plan reviews with RM11, and one of those things is currently townhomes don't fit within our ordinance because our ordinance requires setbacks on every lot. And so every time a townhome or duplex or something comes in, you have to do a development agreement. So that's one of the things we're looking at in modifying the RM11 is maybe creating some standards so that shared wall buildings might not always have to have a development agreement in the future. And then there's some things on development size and scope and that kind of thing that are, but we've had a good discussion. We haven't made any concrete plans on that yet, though. So that'll be coming your way in a month or two. So that was pretty much it.
Thank you. Any questions, Council? Thanks, Dave. I didn't see his Malcolm here. I didn't. Boy, you got perfect timing. Item C, Malcolm asked to discuss options the city has for incentivizing business.
Okay.
You bet. Take it away.
Thank you.
I guess it was a couple months ago, Mr. Gary Patel, the owner of the Holiday Inn Express in the North End, reached out and said he was interested in doing another hotel property in the Richfield area, and was there any incentives available to do that kind of a development. And so I thought, well, I probably yes, I'm not sure. So I reached out to some colleagues of mine and said, have you done hotels before? And they said, yeah. And the tool to do that seems to work the best is just a standard tax increment financing package where a development takes place and the growth in property tax revenue is captured and used as an incentive to help offset the cost of development. That money is returned to the developer. Not all of it, but a portion of it. That's a kind of a negotiated point. And so I thought, well, do the numbers add up? Is it an option there? And so I used a model, a financial model that we use in the county when these discussions come up. I'm just going to pass them down so I don't have to trip over the cord here. Make sure I've got enough for.
So this is a spreadsheet. Richard Jensen here as well, and I'm going to ask him to chime in here in a second to kind of mention or just share some thoughts and observations on this.
Basically, it's a spreadsheet, a financial model that we have used when we looked at the solar farm that came in. Started the process about 10 years ago now. It's hard to believe it's been that long. And then more recently on a battery storage area. I'm going to skip the details on this because it could take an hour, but I'm going to highlight just a couple of the endpoints and emphasize the assumptions that are made on this one. So if you look at the last column at the bottom right-hand corner there, that is kind of the bottom line picture of this analysis. If you look at the total amount, the $1,569,000, that is made up of the property tax revenue that would be generated off a development for 15 years
with a value of roughly $11 million. That property, that development, would generate about $156,000 towards housing projects, or housing development that's required by state code. $15,000 for basically administrative costs. There are costs to administer these types of incentives. The incentive, at, with the assumptions that I'll get into in a second, could generate about $1.1 million. Again, over a 15-year period of time. The revenues to the school district, the city, and the county, those three entities would still get some of the property tax revenue, and those are the amounts that are there. So what the analysis says in the overall is that if you wanted a hotel in Richfield City and the developer was looking for an incentive, it could be done. It can happen. There's a lot of policy issues and questions with doing something like that. Some communities like to provide incentives to trigger certain types of developments to take place. Some don't. But if the city and the developer, well, primarily the city, if you wanted to see something like this happen in the area, it's possible to do it. There's a tool there to do it. And there's kind of two ways to do it. One is to use just a redevelopment process. Today in the state, they're called CRAs, Community Reinvestment Areas, or Reinvestment Project Areas, or Community Reinvestment Areas. And the city has experience with these before, where you create a project area, you negotiate participation agreements with the county, the school district, the city would participate, and then with the developer, and the developer starts the project, and off you go. It's a little bit more involved, can be a little bit cumbersome. The second way to do something like this is with the Utah Inland Port Authority. Is Jenna here? Okay, you are. So the Inland Port Authority uses the same tool, the same mechanism. Their process is different. It's more streamlined, where if it's in an inland port project area, and Jenna, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. The discussions with the county and the school district don't take place. It's just strictly between the city and the developer. It's the same tool that was just used for industrial injection here in Richfield. So it's faster, it's a little bit easier to do. I'm not sure the location that Mr. Patel is looking at for hotel. I don't know if he's identified it or not. And so I don't know if it's in an existing project area with the Inland Port Authority. The first one, the project area would have to be created. It takes some time to do it. And then it again involves some discussions and negotiations with the county and the school board. But the Inland Port Authority, again, it can be done very quickly. I don't know if you have a model for something like this. Okay.
Okay. And I have to elaborate.
Yeah.
Come on in. So, you guys already have the project area set up, and I believe the same place you reached out to me about, I think it is already in the project area. Excuse me, if it's not, we actually changed it today. It used to take 2 meeting cycles to amend the project area and have it. So, we can get it done in 30 days if you want. It'll be a straight 75-25 split, like we have in the rest of the area, 25% of the growth of the community. 75% of the money, right? You can offer an incentive based on the CapEx that is going to go into the project, or if the project is going to create, or whatever restrictions you want to put on that. It would all be paid for bonus, so that you would be upfront. If you did the benchmark, you could outline, you would get the incentive. Otherwise, you can also offer to help with the infrastructure for it. So we could help with, I don't know, on the EIP loan that gets that differential, that 25%, to help them put in that infrastructure, and then that would essentially become the incentive. We need to offer anything on top of it, but probably the biggest complication would be getting in the public infrastructure, so we can help them put in all the horizontal buildings that we just heard from.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to get the best.
Is there a limit? Percentage limit to what we can do at the inland port? I know, I mean overall.
You're going to have to spend 100% of the money that you get to get there if you're in the inland port. So you can do it whatever you want. If you want to get it all, then you can use it on some big piece of project, and it doesn't have to just be generated on that parcel. I know we kind of touched on this before, but it's for the new numbers just because the differential is generated on. happens that comes to our goals. We do have a large infrastructure project that will help. We have triggered some of the topics here in the Richfield that will continue this year. They'll start generating the grant all next year that we can use in other areas. The only caveat to it is that it must benefit the project area in some form or fashion, which I speak full liberty with here in Berlin. Other topics here, very restricted on what we do. We can go to the board and
yeah, just for clarification, Jenny uses the word differential. It's property tax increment. It's the same thing. The mechanism is the same. It just depends on which lane you want to use to get there.
Okay, so there's not a limit to the number of projects we can have falling under this.
That's the only limit you've got is that you can't trigger a project
that's correct. So again, I guess the larger issue is what's the level or degree of interest that the city has in incenting a property like a hotel in the area. The numbers say it can be done. There can be some incentive. Mr. Patel was looking for a certain number. Running these numbers with some fairly generous assumptions, it still doesn't get to that number. He was hoping for, I think, around $1.5 million. And it's a negotiating point is what it is. So it's not like if you can't get to $1.5 million, he's walking away. He's just asking what any good developer would ask is, you know, what's possible? You know, what could come to something like this? So again, it's a policy issue for the city council and the city leaders to consider. Just know that it's possible.
So the school district would have to agree to this?
It depends on which channel you use to create the incentive. If it's through a traditional reinvestment area, it's this county and the city, or excuse me, the county and the school board would have to be involved in the negotiations. The Inland Port Authority set up the system so you don't have to talk to them. The county and the school district are pulled in automatically. They have no say in it. You know, and there, again, there's some philosophical issues there as well. And there's some history on that one, but I'll skip that history for today. So, again, it's faster, the Inland Port Authority. It's much quicker.
So just so I am following here, and apologize, new guy syndrome here.
Mm-hmm.
The number that we're looking at is that highlighted one, that 1.1. That's over 15 years.
Correct.
Whatever incentive would be a percentage of that.
Well, that would be the incentive.
That's the whole incentive.
Yeah, that'd be. So the percentage is based on getting 75% of the property tax increment that's generated, getting 75% of that after the housing piece is peeled off and the small administrative fee is peeled off. State law requires that 10% be set aside for housing projects. On the solar farm that we've got going on in the county and a soon-to-be battery storage area, we've dedicated, the commissioners have decided to dedicate those revenues to student housing on the Snow campus to try and help develop some student housing there.
So again, just so I make sure I'm tracking these numbers here. The total revenue is that 1.5. That's going to be the total taxes that are, or the total revenue.
Total property tax revenue that's created.
And then some goes to housing of that 150.
Right.
And then 15 goes to administration, and the rest goes back in incentives for in building rights.
Yeah. And then there's a little bit that comes back to the city, county, the school district.
So that's like...
It's kind of... At this point, it's kind of negligible amounts. So it really don't, really don't mean a lot.
So then, I guess I would say, like, what's your take on this? Like do we like how much of an incentive do we need to give here?
Yeah, no, that's the right question to ask. It's a negotiating point. Is the how? What's the level of interest? The developer will look at it and say, well, that's enough for me to go ahead and do it, or you may say, no, that's not enough. I can't do the project because I need more financial incentive to do something like this.
And in your research, have you seen what other similarly situated cities or?
Well, not for a hotel. For the solar farm, the battery storage area we're looking at, we did a much lower number. This, if you look at the sheet that I folded inside of that document, these are the assumptions that are made, and it's very important to understand these assumptions. This is 100% participation by the school and the county. In other words, 100% of the property tax revenues that are generated, the increment, is stripped off the development and put into the redevelopment process. It's 100% of the increment going to the agency, and 75% of that increment going to the developer. And then there's an assumption of how much the building is valued over that 15 years. You know, the depreciation schedules on buildings are less because it's a building. You know, it stands for a long time. But so it's some generous assumptions. With the Inland Port Authority, it's a much easier process to come up with those numbers. If you go through, again, a traditional method, then we have lots of conversations with the school board and the county commissioners.
Yeah, the school board could say we'll do 50%.
That's correct.
And so that's this is, like he said, this is...
This is a real, yeah, this is the absolute best assumption to make it, yeah.
If you go to the Port Authority, you're not required, but you can.
There's an exception for that one in the import. Okay.
You can't
No,
what is the housing money that's set aside typically used for?
Primarily low, moderate income housing. You know, just affordable housing, depending on which word you want to use to describe it. Again, commissioner said we'd like to see student housing on campus, so they've set it aside for that.
So how does that money get parked, Malcolm? Where does it get parked?
It's in a fund, and in the county, it has its own fund, so it's accounted for separately.
So what about us?
You would set up your own. The redevelopment agency or the reinvestment agency has its own, basically, bank accounts, and so it's kept separate from city accounts. It's basically a restricted fund, if you will.
But we would have to account for that. Mm-hmm. Drop would have to put that into our budget.
Yeah, that's correct.
So we would wear a different hat, and we would be the redevelopment agency managing that asset.
Right, using that particular channel with the Inland Port Authority, that doesn't apply, does it? Yeah.
Janice, you better deal.
I was going to say.
from that perspective, that's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your gut? What would you feel would be more better for this guy or anybody else to develop? Would it be better to try this, or would it be better to just try Inland Port if we do any of it?
Depends on how much of a hurry he's in, and it depends on how much work you want to go through. It is really the decision. Commissioner, is there anything you want to add on the...
The nice thing is we have a history with these and able to do them and the financing. A year ago at the legislation session, the state was trying to take these away from us. And just to all these types of things just be monitored and taken care of by Salt Lake, and we don't have any say in doing these. And it was a hard fight and a really good fight, and it ended up on the very last night, the very last hour to save these. And so it's a wonderful asset to keep these. And so I just, it's neat that we can do them. That what they were concerned with is, you know, can we do it? You know how to do it? And we've been able to go through that process. And as Malcolm said on this one, it is extremely generous with the battery storage. The tax increment or the benefit is so much smaller. But again, it's just up to you guys what you want to do, how you want to do it. The incentive that you know is this, bringing in a complex like this, you know, more rooms, you know, will economically benefit us to give this type of incentive, you know, down the road. You know, so it's just it's a philosophical decision you guys are going to have to take with the amount of this, what you want to get out of it, and the long-term view of is it going to benefit our community and so on that way. But Jenna has covered hers, and Malcolm has covered the other side, and yeah, they're wonderful things, and I'm just grateful that we can still do them. Versus them being taken away from us, and we don't have any say to do this, to offer those types of things. So
having said that, I'm sure that you're all aware of the bills that are being proposed in the upcoming legislative session on property tax.
Yes.
If they were to pass one of those, say for instance, the one they talked about where they're going to reduce the 60% that we can get, or that we're getting to 45%, how would that affect something like
probably grandfathering in.
Okay.
That's what the state usually does, is they set a deadline, projects before are affected projects. So
fully executed afterwards with the easement.
So they would still collect the same amount of property taxes that was basically triggered before the bills went into effect. Greater project areas are created.
An important point to remember in this, it's subtle, but it's important to understand, is the base load of property tax on the ground continues to flow to the county, school district, and the city. Those freeze there. So what we're looking at is just the incremental growth of property tax. So that base load remains in place.
And does this affect, this only is taking into account property tax, the transient room tax, but it's not?
Just property.
Is properties that's still collected by the city,
correct?
Nathan, what do you see as the advantages of this program over the other?
Well, they both get the same. The advantages, they both have the same mechanism, they both have the same outcomes. The Inland Port Authority was just much more streamlined than the traditional method. But the larger issue for the leader, the city leadership here is, you want to do something like this. There's a philosophical issue of businesses that have come to the area that have not been given incentive, and this one fails. The key to remembering that an incentive is a tool that you can use to trigger a certain kind of activity in your city. So not every industry is going to get an incentive. Hotel, yeah, that might be worth looking at because of the impacts that it creates, generating restaurant tax, transit room tax, bringing more people to the area that help sustain businesses during the winter months, for example, tournaments. It gives another facility for people to stay in instead of having to go to Beaver or Nephi or be on these large ones. So that's the advantages. The disadvantage is sometimes it can be considered something as unfair because you haven't done this for everybody.
And are you negotiating the deal, or who's negotiating this?
Depends on which, if it's the traditional method, the city would be negotiating with it. Normally cities and us at the county, we've hired a firm to come in and help us walk through that. But for the battery storage and solar farm, it was actually us negotiating.
Okay. And then if we go through and
we decide what to offer through.
That's what we did with industrial.
Would the level of the incentive with your program be on par with this?
I would suggest getting 25%, because I suggest more of a
The mayor's correct. The school district can say, you know, if they like the project, but not 75% of the project, you like the pictures. And that's their discretion.
The advantage of something like this, though, is it doesn't impact the school district as far as student population.
Right.
It's not like a housing project or something like that. So it's not as, it wouldn't be as much put back on the school district is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And so that might be something they look at. I don't know.
Yeah, so the school district, say, if you brought an employer that had 100 jobs and they're bringing in lots of families, there's an impact.
Yes.
And so the school board's going to ask, you know, do we want to be giving up revenues that we're going to need to operate a school system? And so that's a tough dilemma for them for the battery storage at the solar farm, because it didn't have that impact. It was a much easier decision for them.
Yeah, I can see that being a very valid negotiation.
Yeah, the nature of the project really drives the negotiation.
Well, then they can look at, you know, so many other factors that, hey, if we add more motel rooms, it offers more opportunities to offer scholastic events here in the community. it saves school district transportation, lodging, and all those other costs to offer these opportunities to the students. So, I mean, that's obviously they would look at, they'd look at all those types of things.
This just gives you guys that opportunity with that outlook, Councilman, that, you know, there's just still so many things that this could drive. The hotel, you know, a lot of times we get to the spot of, you know, they're full, and you know, this is and it can be an extremely wonderful economic development type of thing where there's different events and we continue our growth of the people that we want to come here, spend the weekends, and you know, throughout the day, those types of events. But it's not a burden to, like the mayor was saying, to the school district and so on, and those kinds of things. So it's going to be up to you guys to kind of figure it out and to do the negotiation of what you want to do. And if it's on this tax increment finance, there is a resource with we've done them, you know, to help you with that process, and the law firms and lawyers and those types of things. So it's not, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, there's kind of a blueprint for you if you want to utilize that.
Well, an example, like, shoot, over 10 years ago, for 2 years in a row, the state FFA organization held their state convention at the Sevier Valley Center. They didn't do it a third time, and they would still love to come back, but the reason why they never come back a third time is lodging was the deciding factor. They just, that was the deal breaker. So here we are 10 years down the road, we still have not fully addressed those issues. And that's not just the FFA, that'd be many other events like that we could bring beneficial events here to the community.
Yeah. I'll close with this comment. There is no right or wrong answer here. It really depends on what value you can place on having additional hotels. So don't feel like you're making a bad choice or wrong. It may be more popular or less popular, depends on what happened.
I've got one quick question for both of you. Jenna, on Inland Port, it's 20 years?
It's 25, but we don't have to offer that. We can, like, there's enough to go in. But you will collect the difference.
Over 25?
Unless we go.
Is it different on the CRA, Malcolm?
You know, traditionally it's been 15. I'm not sure if there's a restriction to go on.
I have to check.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
That helps. You got the votes,
right? Okay, item C, or D, is consider adopting resolution 2026-1 supporting UDOT sale of property to Rocky Mountain Power for the construction and operation of a new electrical substation. I need to declare a conflict of interest. I'm not a voting member, but I do have a little tie there. And I will do want to put a little these guys have looked around a lot, and there's the three things we need here the most is energy, water, and you know, sewer, obviously. But, and I would also bring to light a little bit about this is a property tax increase of a substantial amount if this is built. So, Kenny, I guess if you want to introduce your people, or...
Yeah, we've got quite a few people here. So I'm Tyson Stormer. I'm the regional business manager for Rocky Mountain Power. We've got a group of fantastic folks here to discuss this project, talk about the benefits of it being there, and why it's needed. So any questions? We do have a presentation, if there's somewhere we can plug the laptop in. Right over there.
If needed, I mean, we don't have to just jump to questions.
A little
fall in with these guys here. You know, bring a hotel in, you consider a substation down like years and plumbing. If we put a hotel in there, the amount of the cost for you build all the ones to pick that up would be substantial. So we do something like this, we can take some load off the panel and maybe move it. It'd be a lot cheaper to get more businesses in here. It'd be more economical to offer that to them as opposed to, you know, putting the whole cost. The building behind Ace Hardware was in, cost them quite a bit of money. They had to rebuild the line around the fairground all the way over to behind Ace Hardware just to put that building in there. We keep putting everything out farther away from that substation. If you guys remember, we had that parking lot there. We had big regulators stuck up there. They were in front of somebody's house there. They complained. We moved them over to Lands. We finally did some rebuilding and got them out of there. But, you know, to do that, you put stuff out on the end, we're going to have to start sitting with regulators out there, which we don't want. The nice stores that are going to be in front of people's houses on the side of the street. Whereas if we do something like this, it's going to alleviate that and be able to, you know, move up, transfer load around and make it a lot more economical for somebody. But if you guys have got questions, we get a lot of people here that are willing to answer.
Can I just ask?
This isn't a public hearing, Doc, but I will allow comments. Because I feel like this is, this was all over Facebook. I didn't realize we had so many electrical experts in our valley, but we do. It's nice to know that.
Real quick, the north end of the bridge, we have all that land up there. My substation is over there.
It's on the wrong side of town.
So
your industrial park, everything's, you know, it makes more sense here. So if something may come on either direction, we could transfer load on to this.
Is there other ground out there, like behind Larson's base?
Well, just I think we need to understand. I'm sorry, I was going to get into this as much, but I think we need to understand what this property and how this come about. UDOT has remnant properties from purchases that they've made. I wish some of them were here, but this is a remnant property when 1300 South was put in. These smaller pieces of property, I see Carson here, he probably explained this better than I can, but they offer these remnant pieces of property to the municipalities if they can use them. So basically what they're asking is, Rocky Mountain Power came and is interested in that. So part of this process is for the city to say, we're not interested in using that. You can go ahead and do whatever you want to UDOT. That's the foundational part of this, is how this started. So does that make more sense as to why and how?
They own the piece of it, and I sold it back to UDOT. Because they have built their structures on my property, and I've been paying back for years and making these so forth. And no one knew that. Well, I looked into it, so you guys are on my property, and I'm paying your taxes for the other same thing. So I sold it to them last year, and that's been up because I couldn't do anything. We wanted to buy that, and they went off.
Okay, and I'm not sure if this has to come out in a bidding process. So I don't think that they necessarily have a lock on this. They need to bid it.
We couldn't buy it.
Okay, and I'm sure you couldn't, because that's not how UDOT's policy.
I'll speak to that. Where it's a public entity, they cannot enter into a personal contract with you to sell that to you. They by law, that's not legal. And the reason why we're having this discussion tonight is because partly it's a courtesy, but partly because of law, in essence, they have to give us first right of refusal. And so that's all this resolution is saying. Okay, thank you for considering us. We're not interested in the parcel. That's really, we have nothing to do with to say whether they sell it or not. That's just allowing us to say, okay, we don't have a good use for it in the municipality. Even if it's not within a municipal boundary, if it's within what we call the influence of the municipality, they would still approach us on a purchase like this, say, okay, is there another public purpose for this first? They have to offer for a public purpose first. Then if they decide just to dispose it, it goes to actual public auction. case it will prepare oxygen.
I understand that. So I'll put this under ground now. You have to act around on this, right? We don't want a power station. Because our idea is to put a 55-plus community at some point. And we don't care about the power station sitting there next to us. So I just will mention that.
But all we're really saying, like Kip says, is we're not interested.
Basically, that's all we're determined tonight. We just say we don't have interest in it for another, our public purpose.
And that's, we would like not to find some other
thing. And you will have that chance, I'm sure, at that time to lay that.
But at that point, we don't have a dog in that fight. Yeah.
From the city's perspective, that us as a council should be looking at is the overall benefit to the city, and this is an overall benefit to the city. And there are other communities that are right now currently behind the eight ball because they've dropped this, and so I think that them coming here in good faith is and wanting to try to recognize the growth that may come is.
Well, in fact, enhancing the power grid would be very beneficial to that 55 plus community because that's one more tax on the power grid.
Depends.
So, yeah, I've got some pictures. Some other substations.
We did request in conversation a low profile sub with a block wall around.
Yeah, they don't look like a prison jungle gym anymore.
Mayor, I've got one question that I think would help give some context.
Okay.
Would somebody from Rocky Mountain explain why this location is suitable for it compared to other locations? Is that an option?
I can answer that.
I'd love it, yeah.
The 138 line runs up on these foothills up here.
Above Diamond K?
We need to be within a mile. If we don't, we have to start building more transmission lines to back it up. You know, if the line between Sigurd and Richfield goes down, we'll be able to open it up feet from Cedars.
Like a redundant system.
Correct. So that's, and that goes into this town as well. We'll be building the lines up on the west side. I think we've got four circuits in this town. So if we need to do something down like Peterson Plumbing, we don't have to take the whole town out to do it. We can feed it from the other one. It will be a backup so that we can work on that line without taking it on customers out. Right now we've got some cross arms down there. We did some cross arms by Peterson Plumbing. We ended up taking half the town out for most of the night. We've got another cross arm there that we're just dredging. We're hoping nothing happens to it until we can get something done. We don't want to go in there and take, you know, three quarters. I think there's three circuits on that structure that if we take it out, we'll take in all of them. This feeder goes out, we'll take the whole town. We don't
want
to do that. So this here would give us the opportunity to do some of the repairs without affecting the customers and
payments. I did a little research today. I don't want to answer on your behalf, but I'm looking for some advice or thoughts on it. What are the other benefits of this location compared to south of the golf course, for example, or other areas? Is right away, the fact there's already right away there?
Another one is if you get on the other side of the freeway, you've got to do four or six separate circuits under the freeway to get out of the freeway, which is, that's $5.
And so property was suggested today was Richfield City owns property south of the golf course. I'm along Airport Road. What makes this better or different than that property, for example?
I think it's just the engineers looked at it. I thought that would be easier to put the rest of the system. It's a perfect location.
I mean, it's central to the load. Running even a single distribution circuit. This substation similar to this is one of the more recent substations. They're good with the block wall around it. Further we get away from the load center, each one of those circuits costs about $1.3 million over just to put that extra mile. So start adding that up. The further away you get, the more cost.
You say 1.3 per mile per circuit? So to go a mile south on the airport road would be a $7.2 million difference compared to this location. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, this, you know, realistically, this could probably be, what, $20 to $30 million project by the time everything was done, as far as substation, the feed to the substation, the distribution circuits. It could be that, it could get up into that kind of money, I would think.
We're looking around for
the
substation and the
So the whole thing right now.
That's one transformer. I was doing the second transformer later on down the up at the point.
So it's $14 million where it is right now, and to move it would be like 50% more than what we're talking about, like $21-22 million.
It's much cheaper to put the distribution.
Would you all build it down there anyway? Like if whatever reason, if you get outbid at the UDOT property, or if something happens, would you pay that money to build it down there? Like, I guess, like, is it here or we don't get a substation, or is it like, well, Richfield needs a substation no matter what, this is a great spot, but we'll build it elsewhere if we can't get it here?
So on this, we're approaching capacity on places, the whole lines that are feeding the existing Richfield substation. Projected to occur between 2028 and 2029. We've been in the process of mining a property for the substation for about a year and a half now, looking at parcels, talking to landowners, finding a suitable location. I haven't been successful to date.
So I guess I'll just, yeah, so same question then. Is it this or back to the drawing board? There is no B, there is no like, well, if we can't do it here, we can do it here. Well, somewhere else is going to cost a ton more money. Again, is it here or nothing? I guess that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, it's here or back to the drawing board of finding another.
We're back to zero at finding a power substation. And you've been working on finding this substation location for a year. And this is so far the only, this is the farthest you've gotten on any parcel.
We're not going to leave Richfield without power.
Oh, yeah, I mean, of course. Right?
Let's be really clear about that. But it could be a matter of we reach capacity on our existing equipment because we're going back to the drawing board to try to find someplace else to go. If we reach capacity and say, I think hotel wants to construct, we don't want to have to say to somebody, yeah, you can connect, just not until next year or whatever the time frame is. We would like to get this substation resolved and constructed before there's a constraint situation, right?
And this, and how long, what's the timeline on building something like this?
We're about a year construction. We've already ordered long lead material for the substation. So that can take up to three plus years to get equipment for it. Well, that part is already done. So after we get that property,
okay, so that means like if you're saying 2028, we've got to do something.
So if we say yes tonight, what happens with the property acquisition process after that? Is it pretty guaranteed you guys are getting this?
No, goes through that state process.
Still goes to an auction.
Goes through the state process. Yeah. Another thing, you know, I don't, Andrew, is our Richfield City ends at the industrial park out. Then it becomes central. And I know there's, you know, we can't annex another city into Richfield. So there's, you know, we're limited in room.
Yeah. Well, again, just to reiterate, all we can deal with here as a municipality is to say we have no public use for this property. We're not interested in it. That's really all this resolution is. It doesn't say we forbid you to buy it or sell that property or like we have no control over that. That is not our function at all. It's just us saying, it's not saying we support it or we object to it. It's just saying we pass. We don't have any designs on this property. That's really all we're doing here. Nothing more, nothing less.
So, sorry, just so I understand the consequences of our decisions here. If we say no, what happens tonight?
Then we probably need to find a use for it for the city.
Yeah, we better be looking at what we're going to do with that property.
Okay, so we're basically saying we have a use for it.
Well, if we deny it to these guys, what are you going to?
And you should also know that just because if the city were to get that property, city cannot sell it to someone else. If we didn't want to do something with it, we got the property, we didn't want to do something with it, we could not sell it.
It just sits empty, isn't it?
It'd be off the tax rolls. We talked about that's developed this way. I don't know what kind of tax that would generate, but it's a whole bunch more than nothing if the city acquired that property.
How does the property tax work on a situation like this? They built a substation. Is that obviously increases the value of the property from the infrastructure that's on it? Do we collect?
They apply property tax on every pole in Sevier County.
That being said, I really don't see that Richfield City has any design on this property. Therefore, I would move that we adopt Resolution 2026-1 supporting the sale of this UDOT property to Rocky Mountain Power for construction of a new substation.
Well, so you just said that you support it. Like, you said we don't have a say, but you're saying, well, we support it. Like, what does the resolution say? Does it say we just don't want to buy it, or does it say we want Rocky Mountain Power?
No, it says we support them in putting the substation in here, but it says we're going to have no use for the property.
And that's what it says. That's their negotiation going forward. We have no say in that whatsoever.
Well, here it says we do, supporting UDOT's sale, so for the construction and operation of a new electrical substation. So I agree with you, Kip. I would like to be able to say, well, all we're saying is Richfield's not going to do anything with it, but that's all we're saying. So if we want to vote on this, I think we should be accurate here and say we
does the resolution need to change?
Can I ask a follow-up question? Is this a time-sensitive item tonight? Is there a reason we can't table this to the next meeting, get some clarity, understand it?
I don't know. I don't have a clue on that. You guys are the ones that negotiated with the state, right?
Yeah, I think we've got some time to discuss it. And even the wording of the resolution, if we need to improve that, we can work on that as well.
I'm not one to pump the brakes, but I'd rather look for a good solution and have some time to research it than end up with the wrong outcome. If that makes sense. I would be intrigued with tabling it for 2 weeks.
Second.
Okay, so what are we going to do in that 2 weeks?
Okay, first of all, that's out of order.
Yeah.
We need to rule that my motion failed. Okay. Sorry, Mayor, I'm not trying to do your job.
Motion on the table.
So I go back to my question. What are we going to do in that 2 weeks?
Can I ask a question on that? Just so that I'm understanding. So as was explained earlier, it seems like there's a wording problem on the resolution. What was discussed earlier was UDOT is saying, hey, we need to give the city of Richfield first dibs for a purchase, to see if you're interested. And I understood the purpose of this meeting was to decide whether or not Richfield wants to exercise dibs on this parcel. But what we're seeing in the wording of the resolution is not just, yes, we're interested, no, we're not interested. It's, I guess, no, we're not interested, and we support Rocky Mountain Power.
Correct.
If that language was removed, it just, so if the resolution just said we're not interested and leave it, you don't have to throw any support behind Rocky Mountain Power in this. you're just saying we're interested in the parcel or we're not. Is that, am I understanding?
Yes, you are. Right, but basically, this, to me, this said, this says that the state's been approached by somebody to purchase this property. The city has to vote to say that they're not interested in it and that it's okay to pursue that. Probably where Rocky Mountain Power's name come into this is because they're the ones that's pursuing it. But obviously, I don't believe the state can just sell that to you. I think that's going to have to come up for a bid, for a public bid.
Right.
So you're correct in the fact that if we change the wording in that resolution, that should allow them to move forward, the state to move forward? Am I thinking correctly?
I think so. I think you just need to clarify that we don't have an interest in the house.
Okay, so should we take Councilmember Gardner's motion and rewrite the resolution to table it for 2 weeks and then come back with nothing to act on? Doesn't make any sense to me. So you know what I'm saying?
Those are my questions. I'm actually intrigued with the substation, and this morning I was totally against it there, and I see a lot of benefits. I think there's a lot of talking points on things that can come up and help the public understand it. I've been inundated with calls for 2 days on this.
And I feel the same way. And so it's like, I think that you presented an excellent case, and I think that this is the right thing. It's just hard when we get it on Saturday and come in on Tuesday, and it's like, I got to understand more. And so I think I'm with Braden here. That it's like, not a no, like certainly not a no. And it's more than, so I would just like to, if we can, rewrite it so we're actually saying what we're saying, to get to your point. So we're saying what we're saying, and we have a chance to, like, really make sure that this is the right course of action, because it seems like from this side and in this room tonight, it does seem like this obviously needs to happen. This spot makes sense to me. I think it's compelling, but we don't know what we don't know. So at least I don't know what I don't know. I don't want to speak for anybody else.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Councilmember Hansen's motion dies from lack of a second. Do you want to reword your motion?
Do you want
to just rescind it and make a new motion?
Could we maybe just discuss a few points we want to
resolve
or learn more about before we come back in 2 weeks? One of them being, is this truly all the city is doing? Is saying property, we have no use for it, so no, you don't want it. What else?
I'm totally in favor of proceeding with a resolution where we're not supporting anybody's purchase of it, because that just removes us where there's no alignment.
Yes.
So then based on this conversation, from the way I read the resolution, you're basically just removing the last whereas. And the last whereas says, whereas the city council finds that supporting the sale of the above identified parcel of property and power is in the best interest of the city.
Correct.
The first bold line, the title has that as well. So we go back to what I was saying. I'm not saying I'm against a substation and signing this in 2 weeks. I would like to do a little more research, share some ideas, and look into a couple things further. I started today with a hell no, frankly. I'll just be blunt. I'm the closest home to it. All of my neighbors have called me. I've been on the phone all day, I'll say damage control, trying to research it. I was hoping to have a conversation with the mayor on it today. I'd love to chat with some of you guys. The research I did on my own today, I called a gentleman at Garcane that I know, just trying to get research. I now see why it makes sense, but I'm not comfortable voting on it tonight because I have a lot of neighbors, constituents, friends, family that have called me. I would like to do a thorough dive. So I would be in favor of voting if it doesn't align with Rocky Mountain Power, just saying Richfield City has no interest. That's generic. That's great. That doesn't get anything. But I'm not saying I'm not against voting in 2 weeks in favor of this. I'm just not ready in 72 hours with the amount of phone calls I've received today. Is that a fair way of saying it?
Mm-hmm. Carson, I just... You've dealt with this remnant property, correct? Not this particular piece, but others. Aren't you in the process of helping us get some other?
Oh, yeah. We sent a request to UDOT for some other excellent properties. I haven't heard anything back on it. I haven't either. But they were all up on the mountains.
Okay. Okay, so you, can you, do you have anything to add to this that might clarify any of the conversation that we're having in your process of talking to UDOT?
Probably not.
Okay.
But most of the property that we were looking at was kind of useless property to anybody. I don't think any developer or anybody would be interested in parcels that we were discussing. They're like on the hillside. We never discussed that particular piece.
Right. But that is the gist of the remnant property, is to give it to the municipality.
Yeah, so I guess in this case, they would have given that to the city potentially as well.
We could ask for it, yes. But we have to have a use for it.
Yeah, that's a pretty odd piece of property. But yeah, the ones we discussed were all.
Okay.
Why don't we just go ahead and table it for 2 weeks? Okay. In the meantime, we can get some clarification from you up.
Okay.
I would move we table this for the following meeting.
Second. It has been a motion and a second. Councilmember Gardner.
Gardner, aye.
Arrington, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thomas. Motion carries. Mike.
My recommendation would be that in the new wording, that the city has no use for it, but in another part, the city fully supports another substation on south end of town, basically keep the city up. Not connected to the city, has no use for the property, but we support Rocky Mountain Power looking to get a new substation. Unless any of you want to say you don't support substation going into
well, we do have a franchise agreement.
And I will say there's a definite need. The CSS building, I'm pretty sure Mayor Burrows and I talked about it years ago when they came here. Kenny might have been on that phone call. Like, there's challenges. Like, I'm aware of that in my profession. There is a need.
Like that substation
out here,
we act that out for us.
Thanks. Sorry.
Just to add to it, first, thank you very much. We appreciate your support of what we're trying to accomplish. At the same time, might it be better to keep the resolution as simple and straightforward as possible? If we were to ask the city council to put in some sort of statement of support or this and that, really, if we're understanding it correct, and the city council says, we don't have a use for this property right now, that's all that UDOT needs. How would you support Rocky Mountain Power as we go to UDOT and say, all right, now we're going to, I don't know, are you going to come along to that meeting and say, hey, you really should do this or not? It might be easier just to figure out exactly what is going to be accomplished, and if all UDOT needs for you to say is yes or no, just leave it at that, so that way you don't have friends or neighbors bothering you about something that doesn't, where you don't have a lot of control once you got that we're going
to
do this.
Yeah, Mayor, credit this to me being new, but who actually writes the resolution?
We actually have a couple of us who write the resolution.
Okay, great. So then maybe
the attorney on the council.
Why? But little did I know I was going to have to be getting into like dots and I's and like all the precise wording my first day. But so that would be great, like to get like a copy earlier and be like, this is what it says. This is how we changed it. I think that would be like incredibly helpful and give us some more time,
Well, this is typically how this works, and I appreciate you, Braden, and
wanted to pull
that back a little bit. That's fine. We have time to do that. There's not a.
And to be perfectly honest, as far as our city legal counsel, you know this too well, that this is based on some kind of basic boilerplate template.
Yeah.
That's a basic template for these types of agreements that are very routine all the time. Okay, that, it wasn't trying to be skewed in any particular way because of this situation. This is, that's normal legalese, better than any of us here, correct?
Sure, yeah. That's part of the legalese is once we sign this, the city has taken a position And I think in the discussion today, that's not the position we're taking. And that's actually not even like a position we potentially should be taking. We are what we're trying to say, and I think why the legalese is important here is what we're saying is Richfield City does not have a use for that property. So UDOT, do what you want.
Okay. Yeah, but if these guys don't want to buy it, if we're not going to support it, then we, you know, it's kind of like, do we want to get the chicken or the egg first? Because they're saying we're interested in that for this purpose. If you're not going to allow us to do that purpose, then we're not interested in doing this.
So you're talking about as we get further down the road and we start looking at the...
Talking about right now.
Well, I mean, like the plan, everything has to be approved. I mean...
I guess what I'm saying is if they're going to invest in that property for this purpose, and then we go down the road a year, 2 years, whatever it is, and then you decide you're not going to allow them to do that purpose,
right.
This is all a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody wants that.
That could become a roadblock.
Which is why there is some advantage in that in the case of Rocky Mountain Power.
Yes. And that we support.
So we're giving that support to the state to sell it to Rocky
Mountain
Power. For that purpose. Otherwise,
that demonstrates the city's okay with whatever there's a zone change that's needed or some permitting later down the road. With what we already said, we support that happening. So,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's like, if we're not going to allow them to do that, I'm sure these guys don't want to waste any more time on that. 3 acres of an odd shaped lot, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
I want to be clear, I'm not totally against it. I was this morning. I had a lot of lessons today, and I'm actually intrigued with it, but I would like to thank you for giving us 2 weeks.
We appreciate the open mind you come on that journey.
It was a long day.
It sounds like it.
So I guess from my perspective, I just ask that you keep that in mind, that you got to have one with the other, however you decide to work. Or there's no point in doing any of it. That's just move to another spot.
Well, you can wheel power from out of state. It's not cheap, and it's not efficient, and we wouldn't want to be able to pay those kind of rates.
Did we vote on this? I forgot.
I think we voted on it.
Yeah, we voted.
Okay. Yeah, we tabled it.
So.
I didn't
Did you remember?
No.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Item E is John Draper and Mitch Dickinson to discuss the construction of a hangar at the airport to be used by the state wildland fire for a Gila base. This has been in discussion for a little bit of time. It would be a benefit to our community to have it here. We have Adam here to talk about the particulars. So I know there's been some conversation. Don, are you going to talk or Mitch?
I'm John Draper. We got Mike Melton on Zoom. The state is director
of
the state wildland
health
team.
We're
working down here on the North Mountain Fire.
Tell them how
to talk to them. Well, we've been talking to Mike for quite some time. We've been with Jack Davis for talking about filming the a hangar for them. It's a good location for at least a couple of planes and stuff down here. They want to build approximately 120 by 120 hangar. They'd like it with maybe with some outside access from through the fence, because they're going to have some employees. They're going to have some office buildings in it. So employees can come in. We thought it would be better if they want to go in. We came to Michelle and Rob and asked them to build this place. We'd outside access to get to a hangar that side. They suggested to come, everybody by, and come to figure out a place to build.
Will there be any, will there be any facilities for people to stay there? Obviously, this could be run in 24 hours a day.
I don't think so. Which one is inside?
So it'll just be somebody working a shift?
Yep.
Okay.
So there will be somebody in there.
I believe
it won't just be during times of emergency.
No, they want us to bring a staff down here.
So what this is a copy of our airport layout master plan, and we haven't approved this yet. This is what our engineers are in the process of doing for us. We're trying to find the location for 120 hangar. I know that in talking with the engineer, he suggested that one of these down here would be good, or this one up here would be good. Those are, and these over here, just know there's a fence right here, and so it doesn't quite go over that far yet. He does own the property, but that's just for future build-out. And as you can see, most of those small hangars anyway. We do, honestly, if we were to, and Rob helped me with my mom, if we were to open this up today, we could probably sell all of these, at least all of these stations here, and
potentially that's JKL. Yep.
Because there's not much demand in
yeah, those three.
Right now. But the critical thing right yes. now is the fire protection, that we want them to be located at our airport, we've got time to place them. So those are the locations that, according to our engineer, would make the most sense.
Do we need to put like a road through there? Would they just share that parking lot or?
Actually, there would have to be some. Well, you can see this yellow right here is not existing right now.
Yeah.
Which that there would have to be some build out here. They would have to build some of that out in order to have access.
Those black dots that she's pointing at right now are existing hangars.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
I'm just going off what he said. Some rear access is what you're saying?
They were hoping to get some access, so they didn't have to go through the airport.
That's the most problematic though, the FAA. Yeah.
Right.
You have to do it through the defense agreement.
Okay. So it'd be like a long-term, like,
the
set of that.
Okay. The FAA doesn't necessarily want to contract that.
Got it. Yeah. Sure, makes sense.
But in saying that, if we were to grant them that or that FAA would allow that, he's obviously going to make more sense for them to have access because
the federal government owns a piece of that property,
yeah.
Or the state.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What about existing infrastructure there, Adam? Are there advantages to one side over the other based on what's on? So we'd be building from scratch either way.
Either way, yeah.
The advantage to that in talking with Adam and Rob and Michelle. Going to the north, you've probably been in this conversation too, John. That creates a pretty much a separate apron or a separate road for them to be able to get in and out of there and not have to go through the other hangars and all that congestion.
Yes, because
that's, I mean, they're there, but they're kind of separated to access the facility there.
That's the five all the way in the north you're talking?
Yeah, the one to the furthest to the right there.
Yeah.
Is that the location you'd prefer over at the park?
We're not sure. This is pretty good. Yeah. We had a couple of thoughts.
I know that when we had the operations this summer with the fire, these two larger ones down here, this was most of the accidents down here, which kind of left the rest of the airport open for other airplanes. And that, if you put them up to the top, that might create a little bit of an issue to try to get other traffic flow in them. If they're down here, they'd be on the way.
So this particular one would only be for as a Healy base. There would no fixed wing associated with this particular one. So there'd be fixed wing as well. Okay.
Do you need any other services to that location? Water, sewer?
They need everything.
Where is it? Where is it? How far is it?
They need lots of water. They're going to fix it.
There is a power line up that fence.
This fence here?
Yes, three phase.
If we could get an easement through one of these properties, it would be really easy to take the water and sewer to one of these properties. My property line, if you could get an easement through there.
You spoke with the, is that, did you say that was state that owned those two parcels?
I'm not sure. That was just what Doug recommended. I didn't really.
Tell Tanner, you know, he's. Well, I don't know.
You can make this.
Is it state or federal?
I think they're all privately owned.
No, they're not.
Right, that's for sure.
Oh, there is one that's BLM.
There's a lot on that side.
The one just passed.
It's state.
So they would, I would assume that they would probably be amenable to give you that desire. I would think so.
Make
yeah.
a turn in the first grade.
That would be easier, I'm sure. Yeah, they own two parcels there. One's right across from the other one.
That's closer to that south side. I think it's valuable to have
yeah.
at our airport. I think the southern option is probably a little better in terms of getting services.
So,
and,
go ahead.
Sorry. And, you know, like Michelle mentioned, during the fire, that was kind of busy down in there. If you were trying to do all of that on the north end, might be a little tight.
So if you go to the south, the infrastructure, obviously, you've got to have sewer, we've got to have water. You're willing to install that
yeah.
with maybe a buyback when people add into
yeah,
it, or
yeah.
you're good with that type of an arrangement.
Yeah, as far as location, traffic in there, better than
we probably would want to put enough water line down there and a hydrant and whatnot for that purpose. So. I would assume Adam know what he would want that
exactly.
infrastructure, but I just wanted to be sure you were okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think, Adam? North, south?
Yeah, one works for me. I don't see how you can get access. If we can get easements, you can put the full service. As far as driving in there, I think they're going to have to build there.
Is that what's drawn on there?
That's a property line, I believe.
There's actually a road. If you look at your map that
I know, but that green line is the city property line.
But there's also a gray area in here that would be for travel.
So in terms of access, is it easier on the north?
It's going to be the same because you can't go to the south and get a better access there. You know, so you have 50 better access. You know, because you have
I can't speak for the sewer and water. I'm not sure, but I need to know the power is right there. And if you go on the other end, you're going to have to run it a lot further. That's the power part of it.
Yeah, there's sewer water in the industrial park on the east side of the road. Take it to the west. Sewer is deep, so.
Is that where the lift station was?
Yeah, we'll probably close to 12 feet.
What do we need today?
Approval to move forward with it, like it's a pick an actual spot, and then we have a couple of different plan to be drawn from, depending on the location, depending on the plan. They want to go with it sooner than later.
Are we okay to act on this, the wording?
This, well, we're supposed to, we really...
It's not an action item, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a discussion item.
But at this point, you probably need to work with them to find out which one they want to actually have and what's going to be best for them, and then bring that back to the council.
Yeah. Probably don't need any action tonight, let's just say.
Obviously, I can just speak for me. I'm in favor of pursuing this, find the best place, and then let's come up back with an action item. And obviously, it's a project that benefits the community immensely.
Yeah. So the timing's incredible after last summer. Yeah. You couldn't pick a better time to come and say, hey, we'd like to be closer.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Item F is consider adopting resolution 2026-2 submittal of the 2025 land and water conservation grant application for grant funding to assist with the irrigation improvements for the golf course.
So if you'll look at this that I left on your desk, and I will just draw your attention to page number 10. Yeah, page number 10. So I need to preface this by currently we received a grant from the state of $50,000, and with that we did a water study, find out what our water loss was, and to get some other information as to what we really need to do to help our irrigation system. And one of the things that's come out of that is we really need a social system for pumping. And so with the excess of the $50,000 we have left, we're going to purchase a filter for it now. It can be utilized later in new irrigation lines if that's what we sold to. This particular grant, if you'll notice, the total price that is estimated to be $321,508. We are applying for a grant from Love of UCF, $150,000. Our max would be $250,000. Obviously it's not going to cost us quite that much. So we would spend, they would pay half of it. But this would give us a new pump station with a new building. And then, of course, the equipment that we're using now will be utilized in this new system.
That's just the pump station?
It's just a pump station and a pump and a house.
It's condensing several pump stations.
It is. We currently have two pump houses right now. This group put them all into one.
This guy that came down, actually, when we met out there, I think he gave us better news than we were anticipating. So, there's some things we can do to improve that out there immensely and save it. But, you know, we pump water two or three times to pump it again. Mm-hmm. that doesn't seem very efficient to me. Obviously that's been because of the additions that's been done out there and stuff.
So we're looking at the recreation tax to come up with that. Where's our half coming from?
Yeah, that's where the park tax would be, where we probably get money from. We do have money in capital projects right now for the golf course. We could use that as our match.
It's 160 is what we're looking at, about 160,000?
About 160,000, yes. And there's no guarantee we're going to get it anyway, but if we do get it, that's what we would propose.
It looks like Watertronics needs to update their contact information for the city, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
So we're stating in the resolution to go up to $300,000. Assuming that the grant city match ratio, they slide together depending on the cost
they
of the
do.
Project.
Yes, we're required to match half. So even if we get $250,000, if we don't spend $250,000, then they're not going to give us $250,000.
Which works, right? Like, it's not like we're on the hook for the $250,000,
no,
right?
No.
Isn't this where they can come out and offer you less, too?
Yes.
Like the CDBG grant?
I think they'll actually give us $250,000. That's been my experience with other
institutions. Okay, so they're not gonna give us a leftover funds.
No, they'll either give us the $250,000 that we've asked for, or they won't fund us.
Okay.
Is there a reason not spend extra money, but if we're confident or highly likely we're going to receive a $250,000 grant, don't try to incorporate something else into this?
Well...
Or is there something? Okay. That was my next question.
Where we are. And yeah. So we're just trying to make fit with what we can afford right now without having to find out the money and take money away from somewhere else.
So at 160 works, but is there like, is that like the max or is it 200? Is that max?
No, we could probably get 50, 200.
So that's like the max would be forgotten.
Cool. Which is
but we'd rather not. We'd rather use that money
that's
elsewhere.
That's why we're not applying for any money to get it, because that is what we could buy.
Got it. Cool.
All right, are we ready for a motion?
No, we just get the money.
All right, I'll make a motion that we adopt resolution 2026-2 in relation to 2025 land and water conservation grant application.
Second.
And a motion in the second, Councilmember Gardner.
Gardner, aye.
Harrington.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thomas, aye.
Harry. Other business. Chief?
I just started working on stats today. Maybe the next council meeting I can put all that. Basically, we're last year the high water mark is going through. Since then, we've been cutting up and throwing off.
Sheriff said they were way up.
How are you guys?
But I don't know. A lot of it was. He indicated it might be ambulance calls.
They took on 5 new officers, just what I read as SROs. That's one thing that I need to report is that we now have an SRO at each school as of Monday. That started.
How many of those are we staffing, Chief, and how many is the county?
We have two of the sheriff's offices staffing.
Okay, thank you.
So our two were at the Blount and the high school, and then the sheriff's office has the middle school.
Ashmer.
So we have an officer in every school but the Cedar Ridge.
Yeah. Heath is up at Cedar Ridge every day, so it's right there. Where it's on the same campus, basically, by law, we don't have to have one there. Also working with UDOT, trying to fix center and main right here. We've got huge problems with people going through the crossing room, the kids out there in the crosswalk. Mm-hmm. Two a day. You can't seem to write enough tickets right there. So UDOT's going, they're in the process of installing an arrow with a LIDAR system so that if somebody's in the crosswalk, the arrow will stay red and fix the problem. The real problem is it's just not giving enough time for traffic to clear out and kids to get across. So everybody gets in a hurry. That's the real issue, and that should be within the next couple of months. They should have that fixed. They're also building a light up that fit more. It'll be just a one directional light. That's, I think, it's almost done.
Yeah, they've done
based on the hall power, everything's there. They just got to put the arm in so that when you push the button, it'll turn red, stop the cars, and then that'll be functional all year. So anybody that goes up there and tries to cross it, right there,
push the button,
stop the car. We hope.
We hope.
Yeah, that's the theory.
That's good. That's the idea.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I have.
Keith? Adam? Good? Yep.
Yeah.
Not enough money?
No.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep. Mr. Thomas, I sure like our new electronic marquee over here in the corner of the park, especially about that extra gingerbread around the side of that base. That really looks nice. That's a great improvement. You guys done a great job over there, Keith. Thank you.
Nothing for me.
Regarding the RRPL, those private citizens that are helping with that are getting quite active and trying to raise money and awareness and get sponsorships and stuff like that. Trying to keep me informed and stuff. I think they've talked to Rob a little bit about that. I
I would just like to not be the only one from the city that's involved with that and helping.
But it was your idea.
It was, but I guess I'm looking for a partner, some of the city staff, so that we kind of know we're doing it together, you know, moving forward. I guess maybe a council member or Rob or Michelle or somebody that has to meet together to be involved in stuff. So we all know what each other's doing, more or less. I don't know if we need to decide that tonight, but just be aware that that's happening. And
yeah, Nick, I will say I'm going to help you pull your shelves out there.
Okay.
So I'm involved in that site. I don't know that. I told him I'm not going door to door, but I'll help him out.
How much are you trying to raise?
Well, I'm trying to figure that out a little bit still, but we've kind of talked about $50,000. So that's the number there. Their hope is to have it completed by the first football game, do a lighting ceremony as part of that so that they can do it up and everything, and do some type of recognition for businesses, people that have helped sponsor it and everything there at the football game, and kind of organize it that way. So that's roughly the goal, is by August that we have it set up in operation. And I suspect there might be a need for the city to come up with some money depending on what's ready. So I guess just heads up on that. We'll get as many donations as we can so that is light. That's what's happening with that.
Michelle?
I just have purchased a back number for the November.
I'm just curious, if we're going to look at the timeline for our completion for the swimming pool, are we pretty well on target? We put it on target at this point? Cool.
I'm just going to bring that up.
Yeah, I just got
The pool will be shutting down the 25th of February. 26th. It'll be open through the 25th. That was not our hope, but some of the utilities that we've had to do that, we went and talked with the aerobics people this morning, and but yeah, we're on schedule. Things are moving along pretty good. So anything unforeseen, other than that, we're good.
Good, that's the right answer. Thank you.
Dave?
Yes, you guys want to get home by 9? I'm sorry, it's something happened.
Now,
well, I'll talk quick. Okay, so we talked about the 14 plex going in, and as we were going through things, the townhomes aren't allowed in our code because we have side yard setbacks. So in order to allow for those types of things, we have to have a development. And as we were looking at this project and as we have to develop this today, we realized we don't have a development agreement in place. And so you're like, oh boy, this is going to be an issue. We need to get this done. So we talked to the attorney, and his suggestion was basically informally give you guys kind of a straw poll to get a draft of the development agreement, and I'm just going to just take a look at it over the next couple days and see if it needs to be added or subtracted that you don't think the city should agree to, let me know. But that way we can get a draft to them, they can sign it, then they'll be obligated to meet the standards in the development agreement, and then we can go through our process without being on our site. But that will allow them to move forward with their construction, expedite things for them, because we still have to do public hearing and notices, all kinds of stuff to adopt the adopted development agreement on our side. But this is a way to kind of help them move forward without waiting for all of that process that's going to have to happen at the planning commission and the city council actually have to adopt it. So, anyway, it's just information you guys look at next to space, you see the land agreement, buildings and change, you get that for the city. And then just let me know, maybe by Friday, so I can use this back to those guys so they can sign it and make it. And we're wrapping up to make sure that the review's all wrapped up so they can do the project. So we're not holding them up. There'll be a little bit of risk in, you know, what if you guys don't, the risk again is that you guys said you don't want to adopt the development agreement. But that's why they're showing you this tonight, so you have a few days to look at it so that you're okay with it and we know. Legally, we have to advertise it, have a public hearing, have a planning commission. As long as you guys are okay with it, we make you feel good about what's, if we feel confident about the
something. So, do you have a digital version?
I can do it to you guys. Yeah, I printed those out. I don't know why they're at 75% size. I'm sorry.
So I understand the desire to move quickly, but is there an issue with? We say, yeah, let's move forward, go ahead, get some things signed, get started, and then we do find problems with the development.
Well, that's why I'm giving it to you now, so you can tell me those.
Yeah, but we won't be making any official decisions on it.
No.
You're just going to have each of us tell you what we think.
Yes. So as the attorney said, you know, just as long as we have an informal idea that you guys are going to be okay with the agreement, so that they can sign it, they'll be bound by it, and then we can
do that,
but that's later.
But it's just half day in.
Otherwise, we're putting out done.
I don't see anything in here that specifies like curb gutter fencing. Does that just all fall back on the origin of what you have now?
That's all. And these are things in and above code.
Okay.
So like the playground. That they're going to put in.
Okay.
Like Eric, or attorney said, it's basically horse trail. So we're allowing the site setbacks to set zero on the sides of these units, and that the paved parking is a little short on the paved parking. So in exchange for those two things, we're going to have a larger gravel parking area and a playground, outdoor usable space for the residents of. Residents of the development. It's not going to say it's not in my
so we're going to have to do this every time somebody comes in with a townhouse development.
Well, if the changes are in 11, we're working on it. I'm hoping to not have to.
Okay.
But this is, it doesn't really, the project scope doesn't really fall into what our code is, so this is how we do that game. They're giving us a little bit more extra gravel parking, playground, stuff like that. We're giving them smaller setbacks, and there would be a slight reduction in the paved parking.
Like,
they're
making more
apps?
No setbacks. When you said reduced setbacks, it's not reduced in that the size of the buildings are going to be reduced. It's just because we share it all. So yeah. That in the code right now, you have 8-foot setbacks, and we're allowing 0-foot setbacks on those homes that share a wall.
Yeah.
So yes, until you get the code updated, you will have to do development agreements on everyone.
Okay.
But until then, well, once we get it updated, then we'll have to do that.
So we're just filling that gap.
Okay. Dave, McLean, are you both comfortable with what's in the development agreement? Any concerns?
I will say that on the planning commission side, just so you guys are aware, it did pass with the previous people. So, I mean, that's where the planning commission stands with it. They approved it with the previous people. Two of the planning commissioners were gone. Thoughts of the planning commission.
What were the concerns of the two that voted no? Did they express what those concerns might be?
They had think the best book I've consumed. There are more philosophical concerns. We really need it more than complex.
Gotcha.
You know, they're worried about the density, and me is worried more about the vision of your children for the future. Is this the vision of your children for the future? Just going to build more complex. Now on, is that all we're going to build? Is that, that was her.
Okay. Well, we're really opposed to some of these provisions per se, just don't give that type of development in general.
But provisions are all based on things that are discussed by the commission and the community.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. And second, Councilman Gardner.
Gardner, aye.
Harrington, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thomas, aye.
Motion carries.
I need to bring you some glasses for the next meeting.
No, I'll have to have the next meeting.
Hey, you know,
I'm on my dad's magnifier. It's like,
Yeah, so it's 3:15 today.
I got a call at 2:45
at this time. Kind of where I stand on the line.
The problem with me is every day all I do is read words and try to interpret that stuff.
That's when you
live. Yeah, and so it's like, so that's, I think that's where I came from. Because you guys are pointing
out. It's a certain problem.
Right. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, the more the cover trouble sounds.
Anyway, I just want to make sure we're saying what we're saying.
I survived the hell of years as a whole of the day. I particularly from that family. They would never add on
anything. It's like all the traffic. Much single.
I don't want to, but I still think it's something that I don't certainly do think that. That's not what we're mentioning. I just, you know.
She's
good
part of the
done.
I've
got that completed, Michelle.
And then I'll get you a copy. Please email it over to me or give a copy. That would be
Email's
great for me. I don't have anything. Yeah, that's fair. Getting, honestly, it's nice to have a paper copy in here. Yeah.
I'm going to be the restoration plan.